18 minutes to 2. It's BBC London. Back in the spring of 1983, while I'm sure a lot of us were playing Thriller endlessly and Billie Jean was on the radio ad nauseam, a song called Fields of Fire by a group called Big Country was in the charts as well. They were from Dunfermline in Scotland. It seemed that loads of bands, Simple Minds, The Skids, all from Scotland in those days. And they got an awful lot of publicity for their music, but also, sadly, tragically, for the way that Stuart Adamson, one of their founding members, eventually died being found in a hotel room in Honolulu many years later. Anyway, 30 years on, the group are back together again for the umpteenth time, and one of their founding members, Mark Brzezicki, is here to talk about the fourth or the fifth or the sixth coming, I don't know what it is, of Big Country. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How many comings is it?
Well, it's probably only the second coming, really, because it's the first time we've really got back together since Stuart passed away in 2001.
Mm.
And, you know, there was a lot of things to sort out, not only from the business side, but just knowing whether we should continue or not. And, you know, the music is what it's all about at the end of the day, and we do have a great following, and the fact that they're great songs, and we felt that it was the right time to get back together. And
if if you say music is the thing, were you nodding your head slightly in agreement to what I was saying earlier?
I was, because you know, without seeming an old fogey here, you know, music had more musical content. You know, if you go back further into the back in the history of music, it tends to lack a little bit of, I suppose, sing along. I suppose it could be seen as cheesy, but the commerciality or being able to sing a tune or play a tune is less these days in the commercial side. It's more repetitive, like being hit over the head all the time until you know what to say, you know.
I mean, there is always a danger, of course, of sounding like the old man at the bar saying,
exactly.
You know, they're not as good players these days as they were in my day.
I know, it's very, you've got to be careful.
Which you always resort to a Jeff Boycott for some impression, I'm never quite sure why, but you know what I mean.
I agree.
But I was just crying, dying yesterday. Mm. I wanted to hear, I'm not saying I wanted to hear Herman's Hermits, but do you know what I mean? I wanted to hear a tune that I could...
Well, like Adam Faith.
Well, Adam Faith.
My mother used to always play the Adam Faith stuff. But
do you know the first record in my record collection? What Do You Want If You Don't Want
Yeah,
Me?
Great string section with Adam Faith. Yeah, really amazing. Great songs as well. Great writing, you know. Yeah. But Big Country's always been about the songs and, you know, translating to the audience as well. And being musicians, being able to play the music and you know, without synthesizers at that time, you know, we were like a guitar band against the roar of the synthesizers. So, you know, we still... The more we played, the better we've got, in a way. And we've got Mike Peace singing for us now from
The Alarm.
Who's doing a fantastic job, you know, really doing us proud. He knows how to work the audience, and he has the affinity for the music that we have. What with that little, you were talking about Simple Minds, you could add The Alarm to that as well.
Yeah.
There's like that little club, an unwritten club, like YouTube, Simple Minds, Big Country, The Alarm. And we have that spirit of music, that anthemic sound, which hopefully you'll hear when you hear the new
we
single.
We are, we're going to play the new single in a second. You know, inevitably you look through a sort of discography and a tourography, if that word exists, of Big Country.
Yeah.
And you supported Queen in 85.
Yes, yeah, we've done many really good supports. I think having a reputation of being a good live act, you know, again, something that can work a crowd and have those spirited songs. And it was a fantastic experience doing that with Queen, because they are like the ultimate live band that can work the crowd as well.
But that was the year of Live Aid,
which was
Freddie's moment,
that was
his Annus.
That was the
Morales
crowning moment, wasn't it?
Wasn't
yeah.
It? And
yeah.
How was he?
He was unbelievable. I mean, Queen are a phenomenal band, and the musicians are wonderful as well. You know, I've worked individually with Brian May and Roger on the Prince's Trust, which I was very grateful to be able to do. But they're not only wonderful musicians, the songwriting is incredible, and it's what we were talking about. Those, they played songs, you can sing them now, they still sound great now, and people will be singing and wanting to hear them in 20 years time.
Yeah,
well, you know, they have longevity, they're like evergreen. Hopefully, I feel certain Big Country songs are like that as well.
Yeah.
But I will say that.
Well, I think I might have mentioned once on the show already that I've just come back from holiday, and but driving down a motorway or a freeway or whatever it was, an interstate in Florida, and Queen's Somebody to Love came on,
yeah,
and you just think, it's just brilliant. It's just beyond brilliant.
It's amazing writing, amazing vocals, and it's one of those rare moments when all the individuals are the sum of the parts, all the musicians have the key to why it sounds the way it does. And that's important in some of the great bands. You know, you take one of those players out, they all add something to give it that sound. Even Roger's drums are brilliant. Brian May's guitar solos, they all add to the what we all love, along with the voice, you know.
So, talking about taking, you know, a key element out of the band, you know, to lose Stuart Adamson was obviously, you know, a massive piece of the jigsaw.
Sure.
So, when that happens, do you all sort of say, right, that's it, never again? And what is it that makes you a decade later decide, well, actually, now's the time to do it again?
I think, you know, it was a four-piece band, so there was three of us left to sort of mull over what to do, and different people felt different. I mean, Tony kind of felt that, you know, that was it, really, and, you know, retrained to become a teacher. And he really didn't want to get back into it until you know, of recent, particularly the chance meeting with Bruce Watson, who's the other guitarist, he met, he rang Mike Peters. Mike was doing one of his many charity things he does for his Love, Hope and Foundation. And he was up a mountain when Bruce gave him a call to say, you know, we're thinking about putting the band back together. Come down and have a bit of a play and see how we feel, you know. And he was instantly right, you know. Love, Hope, Strength Foundation is what you should say. So Mike coming into the band has been... Everything seemed to fit, you know, everything feels right. And what we're doing now, we're writing a new album. That's going to be coming out next year. You know, there's good things happening. We've got the Crossing tour to do next February, and there'll be a re-release of the Crossing. We'll be playing that back-to-back. And then we'll have a new album out probably, which we're writing now, between now and Christmas. We'll have that out next year. So it's a good thing to look forward to.
It's a very interesting sort of phenomenon over the last two or three years now with this. If you had a monumentally successful album to redo it five, ten... I mean, now Peter Frampton's doing Frampton Comes Alive for the... You know, he's on a 35th anniversary tour at the moment.
I think you wouldn't want to re-record it because I think it's, you know, you leave All Well Alone, you'll mess with it. You don't record it. You may remaster it, but that's been done. I think what you do is you just kind of repackage it, put new songs with it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, what we'll do, we'll play it back to back, and then we'll add new songs as well. So it'd be like putting the record on in a way, but we'll play it live next year. The Cult did that with the Love album, and they did a tour playing as if you put the record on, and it was very successful, you know. But we wouldn't re-record it. I don't think that's the right way to go.
Well, interestingly... This could be like a record that's got stuck. Ooh. But on the way back from America, I was listening to Kate Bush's, she's completely, she hasn't rewritten, but she's kind of remixed and almost stripped bare an awful lot of her, what's the album called? It's just kind of Kate Bush's new album. Oh, The Director's Cut. And I listened to it. I'm a huge Kate Bush fan. And I thought, I wish you hadn't done that. I wish you'd kind of left it as it was for me
to
always
kind of break the
mystery
sometimes, don't you? You kind of want to... It's such a unique piece of that time that you can't really recreate it. I think you can, you know, obviously if you do it live, you'll record it live and you can hear that. But I think there's something, you know, unless you're making it very different, to try and recreate it is a very slippery slope to go down. I'm sure she hasn't done that, but, you know, for Big Country, we wouldn't try and do that with The Crossing. It was of that time and it has sounds and things. Even some of the drum fills, I'd have to think, how would I emulate that? Because the band does grow. There's something to say about a band is, you know, you hear a band 20 years later, they're still playing the songs, but little nuances are different. And, you know, in a way, takes me nicely round to the single title, Another Country. When Mike wrote the lyrics for that, he was kind of talking through the lyrics with me about the fact that it is a Big Country at another time, and this is a new period to go in, and there should be an optimism there for the future, and that applies in life as well.
Okay, let's be optimistic.
Okay.
Here we go. Hope you're suitably uplifted by Big Country's new single, Another Country, out on the 29th of August, which is, what, a week today? And you can go to bigcountry.co.uk to find out more about it. Mark Bozicki's here to talk about Big Country past and obviously present and future. And it's only yesterday, but you were at the V Festival. How was it?
Yeah, brilliant. We did both Vs, the one down in Essex and the one up near Birmingham. Fabulous, you know. For some reason, when we've done the festivals this year, from the Isle of Wight to Oxygen, and we've kept the rain away. I think it rained at Tea in the Park, but it seems to be...
Do you think you have some kind of supernatural power?
We're told to analyse it, but we've been very lucky with the weather. It's been scorching when we've been on, and it was great yesterday, but the first day at V 2 days ago, it rained when we came off.
You were just brandishing a piece of paper at me there, saying, and after 30 years in the business, you've finally been given an award.
We have. We were quite shocked to hear that on November the 19th, we're getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, the Nordolf Robbins Tartan Clef Award. Very Scottish.
Very Scottish. And of course, you've lost your accent.
My Slough accent's still strong, you know, I'll never lose that.
Was there ever a kind of a Scottishness? I mean, because the sound was very Scottish.
Yeah.
Did you sometimes feel a bit excluded from it because of that?
Well, see, there was like, when Big Country started, it came out of the Skids, which was a Scottish band, and myself and Tony were in a band called On the Air with Simon Townsend, Pete Townsend's brother. We toured supporting Skids, met Stuart Adamson. I then was working with Tony Butler, who's in Big Country, with Pete Townsend. There was a Right to Work march at Brockwell Park, I think, in 1979, 1980. Mm. I was playing with Pete. The manager was in the audience looking to put a rhythm section together with Stuart Adamson with his new band. And days later, after working with Pete Townsend, me and Tony were sort of ushered into Phonogram Studio, and we were working on the new songs that Stuart and Bruce Watson had written.
But Big Country were very Scottish. Yeah, in terms of terms of the public persona.
They still are, you know.
Yeah. But did you sort of go and say, so where is Inverness?
At first, other than going to Prestwick as a kid, you know, on a training flight from my dad working at BOAC, landing at Prestwick 10 times, you know, before I get off. No, I didn't really know Scotland, but it's become my second home, really, because I spent so much of my adult youth there, you know, 30 years reunion in January, that, you know, I know I have a strong affinity with Scotland, and I love the place and the people.
Can't play the pipes, can you?
No. We don't need bad pipes, we've got guitars.
That is quintessentially cliched. So when you got back in the studio, you know, without being too sort of morbid about it, was there a sense of a new dawn, that Stuart's legacy is gone, but now it's time to move on, and Mike Peters is almost the perfect man to take his place?
Yeah, the time felt right. You know, you need time to sort of reflect. You need time for everyone to feel that it's the right time to do things. And it wasn't a great plan that came together. It was kind of different coincidence of communication and then the want to do it. And, the anniversary coming up as well, you know, being in a band for so long to celebrate that. And one thing led to another, and it's kind of rolling on now. And rolling on from only doing what was going to be just a few gigs to celebrate the anniversary to doing a new single, having Steve Lillywhite on board to do possibly the next album, Start, which we're already almost written, in fact. And then looking to, you know, looking with the future with Mike now, you know. Mike's definitely given the impetus and the spirit that we need to drive the band forward from here.
And to go back on stage as Big Country, did that feel a bit odd?
No. I mean, it didn't. I didn't know what to think. I mean, when we started, you know, late last year for the Christmas shows, but because it was so well attended and everyone was singing the songs on our behalf, so everyone was carrying the band as well as we were carrying the audience. It was a two-way thing again. So it was incredible, you know. It just worked, and it feels right to do it, and that's why we're doing it. Stuart always only ever wanted to do Big Country if it felt right, and that's why at the times when it stopped because, you know, the spirit wasn't there, or we're not just going to do it because it's a means for an end, you know. It feels right to do it, and everyone wants to do it.
And how do you quantify, this is an awful question to ask really, but how would you quantify success now? Whereas 30 years ago you would have said, are we in the top 20? How would you quantify if this works?
If it works, I mean, I think it's... my biggest joy is playing live. I think most musicians would tell you that. I mean, I love hearing stuff on the radio. I mean, I've got real buzz hearing the band on the radio again because it hasn't been for a while. But I think from a personal thing, it's great that you're sharing the music with the audience. You know, obviously, that's a huge part of it. And the fact that we enjoy playing together on stage, and I get a huge buzz out of playing the songs and playing the new songs to a new audience as well. Like I was saying to you in the break, we've got, you know, different generations coming to the shows now. We've got a young generation almost coming out of curiosity to check us out, be it for the songs, the musicianship, or just the fact that they've heard about it, or they're there just a coincidence, you know, and it's working.
Well, it sounds as though it's working from that single. So,
I hope so.
And listen, lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Genuinely, and, you know, I was a fan back then, you know.
So brilliant.
I must come and see you when you're on the road.
Okay, you should be invited.
Mike Brzezicki, and Big Country's new single, Another Country, out, as I say, next Monday. Great to see
you. Brilliant. Thank you for having me.